Welcome to another episode of Europe's B2B SaaS Sales Podcast. Today with Theo Schickhoff, CEO and founder of Out2Bound. Theo started his company 6 years ago after being a successful sales leader before that, also a mentor for multiple accelerators and incubators such as SeedStars and Kickstart Innovation, and Bulgari Chapter President and founding member of the Sales Enablement Society. So Theo, over to you. Pleasure having you here. And if you could share two actionable insights first on how to build outbound sales successfully, especially as a B2B SaaS startup.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Manuel. It's a pleasure to be here. So I've been thinking a lot, like, what could I share? And of course, I went through the episodes. I've been a fan of the podcast, following it in the past year and a half. So great job that you have there. What I think that is the first one that, you know, I've been working. So my advice comes primarily from my background working with founders, but also sort of building and managing an entire outbound organization. And I think something that was mentioned in one of the previous episodes and something that I want to stress from based on my experience is the fact that it shouldn't be built for you in order to sell it. And what I mean by that is that a lot of outbound people are waiting for the perfect product to be there, are waiting for the developers to do their job and then to have the perfect solution, which is, like, you know, one of the best on the market, because of course it's the easiest thing, the easiest job in the world for any salesperson, especially outbound chaps, to, you know, to sell something that's great, that's, you know, beating the competition and so on and so forth. However, these sales folks and colleagues of ours are missing a great point here. And that's the point that, I mean, you literally could have nothing built by the developers or by your coworkers, if presumably you're working in a startup, in order for you to sell it. Like, you just have to be there. You have to help your, if you're, you know, in a role of a co-founder with a sales background, or just one of the first, you have to help the founding team to go through the PMF, the product market fit phase, and, you know, work alongside with them to make this happen. For this, you have to switch your mindset that even if the product is not there, like, you have to do your best to, you know, to be there and to help the process, which is leading me for the next actionable advice that I have to outbound salespeople, and be especially in the tech world, follow up is king. Like, more time on the phone, more demos, more proposals sent, more emails, more dials, more keystrokes, whatever you call activity, you have to always do the follow up, like, always, yeah, all day, every day. And I know that, you know, when we're selling in Europe, when you compare it to how we're selling in the US, in Europe, we still have this stigma that, you know, follow-up could be wrong if, you know, people do not reply to us, or if somebody says, okay, no, like, get the hell out of my inbox, or are rude or over the phone, you name it. It doesn't really matter. Like, your job over there is to, you know, to actually start a conversation, to listen to what your potential customers are saying or having to say about whatever you have built, and to figure it out in the end of the day is, you know, whatever you're selling, is there a real world application to, yeah, you know, to the product or to the service? And in order to do that, like, I've had countless, really countless of examples, like, you know, with Outbound, we've interviewed more than 2000 founders in the past 5-6 years, sold for more than 250 companies, and working with founders and selling with them, you see quite often their customers replying after, you know, fifth time or after the seventh phone,
right,
or the seventh, right, touch point. By touch points, we of course mean here LinkedIn message, mail, or a phone call. And quite often people do that not because they're annoyed by you or they don't like you or anything like that. Like, everybody's busy. Like, we always get forward right, with the presumption that, you know, whoever you're approaching is extremely, extremely busy person.
What's one insight, like, because I think with engagement platforms such as Salesloft, Outreach, Outplay, they facilitate that and they're pushing numbers on BDRs and so on to do these, like, not only 5 to 7, but 8 to 12, 15 to 20 touch points. If you're on the receiving end as a prospective buyer, it really depends how these touch points are done. What's one thing, like, salespeople can do better typically to make these touch points matter and make them a positive experience and not just like, have you read my email?
Yeah. So there's something that I truly love, and that's the so-called personalization at scale. And, you know, in the end of the day, like when you're a salesperson carrying out your quota, you want to put the time and you want to dedicate the effort to actually figure out who the prospect is, like get as much information as possible, you know, learn about the account, learn about the persona, and really, you know, get to the DNA of the company. And of course of the person, if you can do that by doing a research on all the platforms available. However, you also have the numbers to carry on and the numbers to chase. So personalization at scale is something that I truly like, because if done right, you could, for example, put the different prospects or leads within three different buckets, you know, buckets A, B, C. A being the highest priority one, B mean, you know, like mid accounts that, for example, would take you, let's say, the next 3 to 6 months to sort of nurture and start a conversation, and C being the least priority because of, you know, various right. criteria that you can set there. And then you're going after A, and you're trying to be as relevant as possible on, and, you know, figuring out also how the people in bucket A prefer to buy. And yeah. that's something that if you have no prior information whatsoever in a company that you just started selling for, it's something that you do by experience and by, you know, trial and error, basically.
Yeah. And how do you bucket people? Like, how do you put a system in place for your sales team as well to understand, is there like an A person that I should really follow up, invest in the personalization, invest my time, versus somebody that just wants to be nurtured, maybe left in peace for a week, a month, before getting back to?
So to this question, I'll put it a step back and ask, like, if you have proven your product market fit, and if you know your personas, and if you know what the problem is, if you have figured out your value proposition, based on, let's say, the previous 6 to 12 months, if you're, let's presume outbound centric or even inbound centric, what can you tell me about the personas that you've been interacting with? If you're new to if you're new to the company, what can you tell me about their CRM records? You know, what is basically the sales history showing? And then from there onwards, you're okay. Trying to sort of figure out, okay, we're having much bigger demand from these specific types of accounts. And then you're trying to cluster all those. And I think because we're dealing with a lot of data, right? Salespeople right. are dealing with a lot of data. I think one of the biggest qualities that we have here is to try to spot the trend, analyze the leads, analyze the personas. And is there a trend that you can spot so that you can start putting some connections? And once you figure this out on account level, we're starting and going a level deeper, that is, okay, now I figured the account level, what is the persona level, and what can I figure out from there, and what can I learn from there?
Right. So when you're just starting out, and maybe you already hit $1 million in revenue, it's possible without product market fit, right? And obviously, if I am like found on Zio Sales Playbook and I reach out like, Zio, like, can you help me scale it? Like, I can send you the ICP template. I can send you some custom use cases. What's one thing which founders and sales leaders typically get wrong on outbound lead gen, even if they come to you and say they have product market fit, but they don't?
Yeah, well, that's the main issue. They think that outbound would solve the problem of scalability, and outbound would actually solve the problem of, you know, them reaching out to a broader audience. Through that, they'll get much more meetings arranged. Let's put it this way.
Right.
However, that whenever you're having the issue at the PMF phase, that's not the case, because what the outbound is, especially if done wrong without having the PMF, instead of trying to use and leverage on the outbound as a literally learning channel, like something that you could arrange these additional customer interviews and not even calling it a sale.
So you're recommending it to schedule problem interviews or discovery interviews, or you say like, hey, go first, like really one-to-one conversations and like have more conversations before you even start doing outbound at scale via LinkedIn email calls?
Yeah, exactly the latter that you just mentioned. So the point here is, if you are having all those learnings and if you know how to craft the best possible messages that are actually going to speak in the right language to your future prospects, then you can have all these meetings set up. And then you can have, you know, further conversations, demos, qualification meetings, whatever you call those. If you have skipped on this part and basically like you have no idea, okay, you've hit this million, but how exactly did we do that? I mean, have we done it through inbound? Are we inbound centric? Are we outbound centric? Like, have we measured all the experiences that we have, you know, held in the past 12 months that led us to this point? And what can we learn from all that? And, you know, when you're a founder, you know this very well, that quite often you just sometimes forget, sometimes you're lazy to document the journey. Sure. And this information is simply lost, which is working against your salespeople.
Yeah. So would you say, like, don't skip product market fit and like scaling outbound without nailing down your sales engine or your sales motion? It can be detrimental, right? Like, we know of some, like, hurting the market, some agencies is like, hey, we can contact 1,000 people a week. And they tell us to some of our customers, basically, who have like 500 target buyers. So
I think spray and pray, right?
Great. What are you going to do on Wednesday after you fucked up my target market?
Exactly. That's a great point. And I've worked with companies, customers of mine who their target worldwide were literally 30 companies. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. And they were working with, you know, like one or two companies. We're speaking of the publishing industry worldwide. And you don't have that many players, right?
Yeah.
And like, they worked with one or two, if I'm not mistaken. They were like, hey, can we get one or two more? Because if we do that, like, the tickets we're talking here are huge. So of course, like, you're going
to, like, 250K to million and above. Right?
Yeah. Even more. So when we're speaking of 30 accounts, like, what is your strategy there? And then what are the tactics that you can translate from the strategy? And that's definitely different than when you're having, you know, thousands of accounts and personas that you can target, and that you simply can accelerate much more, like, a broader outreach for the sake of having, you know, where the PMF is, for example, or how can you basically, you know, present your value prop in the best sensible way?
Yeah. I mean, what do you do with prospects, with, like, inbound leads? Like, I mean, I get this a lot, like, hey, we need more leads. I feel this will solve all our problems. Can you do it for me? And I'm like, I could charge anywhere of like $2,000 to $5,000 US a month, I guess, but it will not solve the problem. What do you do with these people without disappointing them or making them angry?
Well, I don't believe in quick fixes. Yeah. I've been having meetings with so many founders that were like coming to me and said, you know, I'm starting this company. So I'm a developer, an engineer. I have like 15, 20 years of a corporate experience. I quit a corporation with three of my other friends and we're starting something. Can you help us with sales? And I'm like, no, you know, I can't help you because you have to help yourself first. Like, my core belief is that the founder is the very first salesperson in any team. Whatever it is that, you know, you want to build there.
Yes. So what do you do? You just help them and they're like, okay, let's work together, but let's go back and figure out product market fit and your customer profile and your sales argument first. Like, do we do that at Outbound, or do you say, like, go work with somebody like a coach, a trainer, like an accelerator to do it, and then come back once you have like 10 customers in this exact same niche with the same use case and the same buyer persona?
If they have no idea of where to start and how to start, we basically consult them on this. I think I mentioned you, I mentioned this on one of our previous conversations, but initially I didn't really believe in the consultancy value proposition because my core idea has always been tactics and getting our hands dirty and actually helping you through doing the actual work. However, the market shared with us something different. The market said, hey, I need this consultancy because you helped me realize that I have to be the first salesperson, and I kind of wrapped my mind around it and I have to start doing this now, but I have no idea where to start. So what is your suggestion? What can you teach me? Started working closely with founders, and we were doing like a 5-week sprints where we're basically starting from mindset to like why you should be the actual salesperson to, you know, moving on to, okay, these are the very practical ways based on our experience selling for hundreds of tech companies that you can apply yourself. And once you figured out that you can sell your vision, that, you know, there is a trend that, or there is a niche that you're addressing in the best possible way, from their own words, we are there to offer our core service, that is the sales outsourcing part, but not necessarily, because you know it's up to you in the end of the day.
Right. Now, that one I found interesting from having Aaron Ross of Predictable Revenue, previous VP sales, Salesforce, early times, right, on podcast. And they did both a predictable revenue. They did done for you and they did the coaching for it. And I always found that hard from a mindset, like what are you selling? I did this in the beginning with like sales playbook as well, like 2019 for some customers. But then what's your incentive, right? Do you want to take the work over from a customer? Do you give it back? How do you handle this in a market offering perspective as well?
My incentive has always been, I want to help you, but not necessarily at any cost. And especially if I don't see it sense for me to offer something that, for example, 3 to 6 months, you'd say you sold me something unusable in a way. Yesterday, I had a great meeting with a potential partner and one of the co-founders of this company told me that in business, you meet people twice. And I truly believe in that. Like the first time is the you know, whatever the impression that you have managed to build, however you managed to sell your product, service, you name it. And then the second time is actually kind of, you know, the borderline of how your relationship has been and where it's going to go. And right now we see, because we played this well with some customers, we see returning customers where, for example, we, like 2 months ago, we just signed 3 companies that worked with us in the past year and a half, and they just canceled because, you know, restructuring, COVID, you name it. And they're coming back because they saw the value. And right now they're ready to expand even more as they're, you know, projecting a great year ahead. However, you know, I'm not going to shy away from saying that, you know, we've had instances where we screwed up. So the second time, that there was no second time, you know, I gave you the chance. It didn't work out. Sorry, I'm going to seek for something else. And of course, we have improved. And you know, this year, as an entrepreneur, you're improving your product, your service all the time.
Yeah, every month.
Sometimes it just doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes no sense. Now, let's maybe invest like 3-4 minutes, like, to talk about where you see this whole outbound sales going, right? I mean, you've been 6 years in the game, which is longer than most people. And where do you see outbound and the whole outbound lead gen space going by 2025? And what will happen next in terms of done for you versus coaching versus enablement versus automation?
Speaking of outbound, we've been having great attempts to productize, and I'm sure that you're not surprised by what I just said. We've seen many cases of successful companies, of not successful companies, and we've amassed great know-how. But the most important thing is that we slowly turned into a data company without realizing that. Right. So the question at some point was like, and still is on the table, like, what do we do with all this data? I mean, can we put it into something else? Can we sort of build a product that's going to be in the sales tech space, and what this product would be? So we are juggling with several hypotheses here, putting forward 2 or 3 out of those to test in the upcoming 1-2 years. We're having the tech power, which is a great pool of you know, developers, of actually partners of ours who've been our customers. So we have the advantage of partnering up and teaming up with someone who's going to build it with us because they know the company and the service from the inside out. So that's where I think it's going. I definitely believe that there is still a niche, and this niche is everywhere. The niche of outbound sales services, you know, basically of sales outsourcing. There are still many people who are struggling to do that. And there are still many people who are starting new companies who want to be educated, and they have no idea where to start. And they simply need support, like through what you do or through what we do. It's evolving, of course, with all the AI, like with all the GPT-3 protocol, where you're typing several keywords and then you're having one of the greatest cold emails that you've ever seen, right? All these things are taking more and more traction, and more startups solving these problems are going to be there. However, I think that the human factor would remain, because that's the differentiator, right? Like you can use all the automation tools that you'd like, and you can start these conversations. But then in the end of the day, if it's not you and me in this way, or over a conference, like an offline event, when that would be possible at scale again, like that's where the difference is coming from. And you know, like, we still buy on emotional, we still have in our purchasing decisions tons of emotions. It doesn't matter if we're talking B2B or B2C, this is still there.
Yeah, we're talking age to age, like humans to humans, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like, I find that will be really crucial to get right. Like, these outbound sales, like also outsource, is still huge. I think like there's just too many companies just blasting out like cold emails at scale and burning the market without having this deep personalization and emotional connection. Yeah, from my side, like we're nearly up on time, but like what's one thing like that you would like also pass on to our listeners when they started the outbound sales motion before we wrap it up?
The most important thing that I truly believe, and I think that Mark Cuban said this, is that sales cures all. And if you're in sales, you'll figure it out eventually that you can solve a lot of, you know, a lot of problems by being genuine, by being authentic, and also by trying to establish this sort of relationship. Doesn't matter if it's online or offline. And also, like, one of the biggest advices that I share with my team is in sales, like, after yes, the best answer is no, right? Because no is actually allowing you to move ahead and to focus on the opportunities that matter, learn, iterate, and then continue. So like, just keep on doing what you do and keep on learning and keep on, you know, changing and also evolving, because the role is evolving by itself with each and every year. And you have to be at the edge of all the tools that are available out there, of all the new things. Quite often these new things are recycled all the information that's, mm-hmm. you know, kind of all the outdated, but just presented in a new way. So just be on the edge of educational aspect too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like music. There's 12 notes, right? And then it's just recombined over and over again for the last 2,000 years. And like
countless Western combinations. Benefits.
There's more skills available. Yeah. No, thanks so much for sharing these insights after being in the outbound sales game. Like, with Outbound for the last 6 years, I took away three learnings. Like, following up is everything. There's still a stigma around following up. That can be negative. It's not. Countless prospects only reply after 5 to 7 touch points and then become customers, actually. And also to embrace personalization at scale, get to the DNA, but then decide via what you call ABC bucketing, where to invest into deep personalization, where to only nurture at scale. And under no circumstances, skipping product market fit and just blasting out tons of emails, burning your, I think, said 30 prospective buyers in a week, pretty much. And so thanks so much for sharing your learnings and insights from
Tugeno
the last 6 years. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Manuel. It was a pleasure. Thank you.